everyone, it's Lacey Scholes from VH1's Rock of Love, and this is Talk of Love, the new podcast. This isn't just reality, this is real life.
Hey everyone, it's Lacey motherfucking Scholes, and this is Talk of Love, episode 53. How's everybody doing? Good, I hope. So I want to start out by saying, one thing that's really interesting about doing this podcast is it really gives me a whole new perspective on all of the different characters of these shows. You know, it's been really cool to sort of like get a little glimpse into everybody's life. And, you know, we all know them from the reality shows, of course. But for me, it's cool because I really get like a glimpse into their personal life, like where they're at, you know, psychologically, where they're at as far as like their family or their career or where do they live. And it's really been a very, very cool experience. And a lot of people who I've brought on as my guests have surprised me in a really, really good, positive way. And I'm like, awesome, like good for this person. You know, they're doing great in life and it makes me very happy. There have been a couple of people that I have kind of peered into their personal life just for a little moment that, unfortunately, things were not looking good for them. And there's not too many people that are like that. Usually everybody has like, everything's going great. But I'm bringing this up specifically because I want to talk to you guys about Laylene for a moment. Now, Laylene was supposed to be the guest today. And unfortunately, she's not going to be the guest. I'm going to be bringing on Danger instead from For the Love of Ray J in a few minutes. But I am bringing up Laylene because I am a little bit worried about her. By the time you see this podcast, it'll be Monday, but this is actually the Wednesday before. So this is, today is Wednesday, March 3rd. This is the day that we're filming this. And I don't know where Laylene is. She sort of went missing. So she was supposed to be on last week and I had scheduled an interview with her. I talked to her via Skype, you know, just about what this podcast is all about and asking her if she wants to do it. And she was like, yes, 100%, count me in. Then the day we were supposed to film, she was literally a no-show. I didn't even get a text or anything from her saying that she wasn't going to be here. So I finally got a hold of her like late, like very, very late that night. And she said like, I'm so sorry. I wasn't there available for the interview. She's like, I had period cramps. And I'm like, period cramps? I'm like, we're in our 40s. This isn't our first time to have period cramps. Like, you know, you can text me, you know? But I just went like, you know what? It's cool, whatever. Don't worry about it. Whatever her reason was, I'm not going to question it. And I said, well, do you want to rebook it or do you not want to do it? She's like, no, I still want to, I want to do it. So I rebooked it and it was supposed to be yesterday. And for the second time in a row, she was again a no-show. I didn't get a text, a phone call, anything. I have been calling her and texting her since Sunday night and I cannot get a hold of her at all. And to be honest, I'm a little bit worried. And normally I wouldn't put somebody's like personal shit out there like what I'm doing right now. But I'm only doing this because I don't know anybody who still talks to her. I reached out to Farah, who used to be Laylene's roommate. Farah isn't, you know, doesn't know where she is or how to contact her. So I'm hoping somebody will hear this and just check in on her and make sure that Laylene is okay. I will tell you that, as you guys probably know, Laylene has been off social media for a pretty long time. If you go and look at her older Facebook posts, unfortunately, the poor girl had a couple of strokes, I think in 2018, I believe. It was pretty intense and pretty life-changing for her, for what I understand. My heart goes out to her for that. But randomly, a few weeks ago, her boyfriend went on to Reddit on the Rock of Love Reddit page. And he basically was like, hey, I'm Laylene's boyfriend and here's pictures of me and Laylene and she's doing great and da-da-da. And we're all like, awesome, that's really cool. Then a lot of people were asking questions that he was answering. And I thought it was cool that he's like letting everybody know how she's doing. But it did make me raise an eyebrow at the same time when people were asking all these questions. And instead of handing the phone to Laylene or whatever, he was sort of answering for her. I thought that was strange. But anyway, I got his name off of Reddit. I found him on Instagram. It turned out he was already following the Talk of Love account on Instagram. So I reached out to him and said, like, hey, I'm a really big fan of Laylene. I loved her on Flavor of Love. I loved her on the other show she was on. And I would love to have her on the podcast. And so he was like, yeah, we exchanged numbers. The number he gave me, I thought was Laylene's number. So I'm texting back and forth thinking I'm talking to Laylene. It turns out, I think it was actually his number that I was talking to. So I'm like, that's weird too. I'm like, does Laylene not do her own thing? Like, does her boyfriend do everything for her, including answering the text messages and the phone calls and all that? So anyway, I reached out to him and he basically said, let's talk on Skype and talk about this whole podcast thing. And I'm like, cool. So I get on Skype and the two of them are there. And again, it's not just Laylene, it's him. And he was sort of like talking for her. And so I'm going like, is this a thing because what she's dealt with the stroke, or is this a controlling boyfriend? I don't know what's going on. This is kind of strange to me. But anyway, I talked to them for a few minutes. He was nice. I'll say that, but it was just weird that he was there. He was so involved in all of this. So anyway, we planned the interview for the following Monday. That Saturday night, I got a call at like 1 o'clock in the morning, my time, and I'm in Nevada. So Pacific time, they're on the East Coast. I think they're in Pennsylvania. So I get a call like 1 a.m. for me. So it was super late. And it was basically, it was the same phone number, but it was a guy who I didn't know who he was. He had gotten Laylene's boyfriend's phone and clearly was just calling whoever the most recent calls were, including my number. So this random guy calls me and he was like, who is this? And I'm like, who am I? Who's this? I'm like, is this not Laylene's boyfriend? He was like, no. He's like, Laylene's boyfriend is at my sister's house and we can't get him to leave. And we've been trying for 2 hours to get him to leave and he won't leave. And I'm like, okay. And he basically was calling me to say, can you get this guy out of my house? And I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. I know Laylene. And I'm like, why didn't you talk to Laylene? He was like, I don't know Laylene either. And I'm like, what is going on? And then he was like, he wouldn't be direct with me, but he's like, I can't get him to leave. I'm like, why don't you put me on the phone with him? So he hands the phone to Laylene's boyfriend. And I'm like, hey, this is Lacey. Like, what the hell is going on? Click, they hang up on me. So I'm like, okay. So I call back again, not Laylene's boyfriend, but the guy who has his phone answers. And I'm like, did we get disconnected? And he goes, no. He hung up on you because he was pissed that I gave the phone. He was pissed that basically that he got me on the phone and gave it to him. So it was really weird. Then the guy, the unknown guy, is saying, I don't know what this guy's problem is, talking about Laylene's boyfriend. He was like, I don't know why he won't leave. I don't know why he doesn't have a place to go. I don't know if he murdered his wife and is running from the authorities. I'm like, hang on, what? You know, and it was so bizarre. And I couldn't tell if this guy was just being dramatic or what was going on. It was crazy. But then the phone got disconnected again. I couldn't call back and get anybody to answer. Fortunately, the next day I did get a hold of Laylene, but she was in a different state. And before I talked to her, I actually called the boyfriend the next day and I sort of played dumb. Like, I don't know what that was. Was somebody pranking you? And he was like, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, where's Laylene? He goes, oh, she left the state. She's in another state. I'm like, okay. So then that following Sunday, I was able to get a hold of Laylene. I'm like, are you okay? She's like, yeah, I'm fine. And was really kind of downplaying everything. And I'm like, do you still want to do the interview? I'm like, if you don't want to, it's totally cool. No pressure. She's like, no, let's still do it. So I'm like, okay. So I booked the next interview with her because she already was a no-show the week before. I book another one. And again, she's a no-show. And I have been texting her, calling her for days. I cannot get a hold of her. I don't know where she is. I don't know if she's okay. I don't know what's going on, but it is totally freaking me out. And I actually did say that in the text message. I'm like, girl, can you please just say like, I'm alive, I'm okay. No answer. I'm saying, are you in danger? Do you need me to call the police? What is going on? No answer. So I don't know where Laylene is. I don't know if she's okay. I'm really freaking worried about it. So I just want to put that out there to all of you. Unfortunately, as I said, she's not online. Her social media is not up. I don't know what to do. So if any of you know somebody who is friends with her, show her compassion. Don't mess with the boyfriend. I don't know what his deal is. That's all kinds of red flags. So if anybody knows anybody who knows her, or if you know her, please reach out, give her some love. Make sure she's okay. I'm worried about her. So anyway, that's the deal with that. I'll definitely keep you guys posted. As soon as I hear something, I will 100% let you guys know. So with that said, I am excited about the next guest, though. We've got Danger from For the Love of Ray J. I'm really, really excited for her. So without further ado, let's welcome Danger. Hey, Danger, you look fantastic. It's nice to see you.
Thank you. You look great. How are you?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm doing really well. I just want to say thank you to start with for coming onto the podcast.
Yeah, it's really an honor to be here. I really appreciate you reaching out and setting this up.
Oh, well, thank you. I am really, really excited to have you on the podcast because I told you this on the phone. I feel like you and I can kind of relate to each other because we were both sort of like the villains of our own seasons. We both came in third place, but I definitely feel like you were very raw and you were very real with your emotions. And I feel like there was a lot going on in your head that we didn't really get to know. So I'm glad you're here because we can really kind of dive into all of that.
Yeah, sure.
So I want to start with, how did you end up even getting on the show? How did you get involved in television?
I actually started working in the entertainment industry at a very young age. I was a child model. So nice. I actually started in the industry at 10.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Good for you. Yeah. So were you seeking out this show or a show like this to audition for, or did they find you?
That's a great question. Not necessarily. Like, I was doing some acting at the time, and I was living in LA pursuing acting, and I knew other castmates. Like, I was good friends with Callie from Merchants of Love.
Oh, I love her.
And isn't she great?
She's wonderful.
So I already kind of knew, like, you know, that whole thing because it was still early days. Like, we didn't really know, like, what these shows were all about. So when the casting, I heard about the casting for Love Ray J, I jumped on it.
That's awesome. But you hadn't seen Flavor of Love or I Love New York or any of those shows yet?
I think Flavor of Love was a thing already because Real Chance of Love came after I Love New York. So, I watched I Love New York. I watched Flavor of Love. I watched Real Chance of Love. And then, you know, I knew that, you know, the For the Love of Ray J was happening. So that's why I kind of like got on it. But I actually watched all of those shows.
Yeah, they were great. I did too. And so I was just asking because I was wondering if you kind of had an idea of what you're about to get yourself into.
No, I mean, you kind of think, you know, but at the end of the day, you don't really like know exactly how intense it's going to get. Like, Callie called me from the house and she was like, which one should I go for? Real or Chance? And I was like, Chance. But I could kind of tell from her experience too, by just being her friend, like how easy it was for her to like, you know, kind of fall in love on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I feel like most of the people that go on these shows, you sort of fall into one category or the other. You fall into the category of like being guarded, like this is a television show, or you fall into the category of like, I'm going to fall in love. I'm going to go for it. You know, what were your thoughts about Ray J prior to going on to the show?
I was a big fan. I watched him on
what was another
show? One-on-One?
What'd you say? Besides
Wasn't
Moesha.
He on another sitcom called One on One?
I can't remember. I know he was on Moesha, but I can't remember what the other one was.
I feel like maybe he was on that cast for like a limited time. And then he was also a singer.
Yeah.
So I was like very aware of like who he was as a person. And I was a fan.
Yeah. He's a good looking guy. And he's very charming. And he seems like very sweet. So you're going into this going, I know who this guy is. Based on what I know of him, I like him. So you're thinking like, there is a possibility I could really fall for this guy?
Well, what was really funny about the whole situation is I had lived in LA for a few years prior to being on the show. And I had never run into him before. You know, because, you know, I don't know if you've ever spent much time in Los Angeles, but it's very small.
Yeah, I've been out there.
Everyone in the entertainment industry knows each other. Mm-hmm. So, like,
yes.
We all kind of know each other.
It's
but
a
I had
small
never
world.
Run across Ray J before. I had never come across in contact with him. And right before I went to film the show, I went to this nightclub on, I guess it wasn't Sunset, I think it was La Cienega in Hollywood by the Beverly Center, and I saw him. And I already knew that I was going to go and film the show. And I saw him at the club and he was with another girl. He was like on a date at the club. And I like saw him for the first time. And I was like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm like not going to introduce myself or be like, I'm about to go film your show next weekend. But I thought that was super weird. Right?
That's crazy. Yeah.
It was crazy. It was so crazy.
Oh, that's wild. That's really wild. So let me ask you this. Did you watch the show back? Did you watch it when it first aired?
Yes.
So what did you feel as far as like the way they portrayed you, they being the producers? Because I do feel like you're one of those type of people that feels your feelings strongly. You seem like a very passionate woman. But do you think that they edited you a certain way? Or did you feel like it was a pretty accurate depiction of how everything went down?
Well, Ray did me a favor and he called me before the first episode aired and he told me that they had edited something that he actually didn't say. So he kind of gave me a heads up, which I appreciated.
What was that?
In the first episode, they actually have him doing a testimonial and they have him talking about me and they cut in him saying that I had a face from hell.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wow.
So thus the line is, body of a goddess, face from hell. And he called me up and he was like, hey, I was really mad that they did this, but I just wanted to let you know before you saw it, I didn't say that about you. That was a completely other, out of context thing that I said that they clipped together to say that it was about you and it wasn't actually about you. So I just wanted to make sure that you knew that.
Well, that was nice. I mean, I feel like it was thoughtful. I mean, because the one thing I will say is that I felt this way, and the people who watched this podcast were even commenting like she was definitely one of the most beautiful girls talking about you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So I mean that is like the common like general consensus. So that's sort of like a ridiculous thing to say. It makes sense that
it just kind of shows you like how manipulative the editing floors are, you know, like to just kind of manufacture that whole even, you know, sentiment about like me being ugly. You know, like he never said that, you know?
Yeah. Did that make you feel good that he was clearly concerned about what you were going to think of him as far as what he says about you? He was concerned and wanted to make sure that you were okay with all of that. Did that make you feel good?
Well, I mean, yeah, it was a good thing for him to do to say that, but it wasn't like, you know, it didn't make me feel like any differently. I was just kind of like, because I would have watched it and I wouldn't have thought he had said that.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. So what did you think about the rest of the, what did you think of the show as a whole, as far as the way it depicted each of the girls, yourself included?
I thought it was actually pretty funny.
Yeah?
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yes.
So it was, I mean, I watched it again. I've probably seen the whole show like 3 times. Like I watched it when it aired. I watched it like a few years later. And then I watched it like maybe a year ago. And I watched it from, you know, every episode, binged it. And what I kind of took from it watching it again, like later on, is just like how hilarious it was.
Yeah, that's good that you have that.
It's really funny.
That's great that you have that attitude about it. Because I'll tell you this, I've had a number of girls and guys come onto this podcast and tell me that they just felt like destroyed by these shows and had a really hard time with it. I kind of have the same mindset as you that I thought it was fun and funny. I didn't really take a lot of it too personally. There were some kind of like cringe moments, of course, but overall I felt pretty good about it. But the difference between me and you is I felt like generally in moments you were, I mean, I felt like you seemed like you were really falling for Ray J. So you seemed a little bit more raw and open emotionally, where I was always looking at Brett Michaels as like a bro or a friend or whatever. So I didn't feel as strongly. I wasn't as emotionally vulnerable. Would you say that's a good way to describe yourself?
Well, I think you're totally right. And I'm saying when I watched the show was actually entertaining and it was funny. When I was filming the show, it was traumatic. Let me get that clear. Like, it was fun when I watched it. I was like, oh, this is like hilarious. And I'm laughing a lot of the times when I'm watching it. When I was filming it, it was extremely traumatic in many different ways. And still something that I have to process the trauma from till this day.
Wow. That sucks.
Ray, you know, when I met him, we were doing the show together, I'll admit, I'll be the first one to admit, we definitely had a instant, like immediate and extremely like huge connection. Just like, I don't even know what it was, but it was just magical. It was instant. Like, we definitely connected really easily. And it just kind of felt like I had already knew him. We had already kind of like known each other. And it was just like an indescribable thing. Like, even as short-lived as it was, because we never dated. We didn't even date after the show, you know? Like, so I can't even really be like, oh, he's my ex or he's my boyfriend or any of that, you know, stuff. But we definitely had like an undeniable chemistry and attraction to each other instantly. Like, he even came to my baby shower.
Oh, he did? Oh,
wow. He was the first one to show up.
Wow. Oh, that's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's good to know. I feel like, yeah, because I saw it. I definitely thought there was like an immediate attraction there as well. I mean, obviously you're both, attractive people. So I could see you being attracted to each other just from a physical place, but also like energetically, you seemed like you're attracted to each other. So, I definitely saw that. I'm going to jump around a little bit. I kind of want to, I want to first get into the whole interrogation moment, where not the interrogation, I'm sorry, where you guys had the lie detector test. The only reason I said interrogation is
again,
that moment reminded me, on Rock of Love, we didn't have a lie detector test, but we had an interrogation, which was like kind of similar to what you guys were dealing with. And it sucks because I feel like you were like handling your own and you're definitely like, you stand up for yourself. That's who you are. But when it gets down to a lie detector test where you can only answer yes or no without giving any like any additional information, it really like fucks you up, which clearly it did fuck you up. So also in that moment of you with the lie detector, the editing was all crazy. So it was making you look like you were saying like yes to all the horrible questions. Was the editing accurate? Were you saying yes to all these questions about like restraining orders and violence and stuff, and you just didn't get to give the backstory, or did they twist that around in the editing?
That entire episode was completely edited, and what I was actually answering questions for was a lot worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can you give some examples?
No.
Okay. So there was a moment where you started to kind of break down, and you said, "I really didn't want to put that out there." Like my mom watching this show, like, which is totally understandable. How much of that was like, so they were asking worse questions, the questions that we actually heard, like,
that were been violent questions.
One, I think, was like, have you been violent towards an ex?
None of the questions that were aired were the real questions.
Oh,
all
wow.
of those questions were not real questions.
I see. Oh my God, that's crazy. So do you think that Unique had really come up with some of those questions, or was it the producers?
Yeah, she came up with all of the questions that they asked me.
Wow, wow. I mean, things were not cool with you and Unique anyway, but that definitely, I mean, she really threw you under the bus.
She's very lucky that we were in a safe place.
Yeah, that had to have been really difficult for you to have to deal with that.
It was.
Yeah. I knew there was a moment too where you kind of felt like you went up to Ray J and you're like, hey man, like you totally just like left me out there, like hung me out to dry. Like you saw that I was suffering. You saw that I was in pain during this moment of being questioned, and you kind of like weren't really there for me. Like what's up with
that? Yeah, I mean, what was the waterboarding challenge? Not...
Right.
I don't think people were understanding, like, we're human and we're on a TV show. Yeah, well, we signed up for a TV show, but we didn't sign up to be tortured.
Right. I totally get the analogy. It got a little vicious, a little brutal.
Yeah, like they might as well have waterboarded us.
Yeah.
That's torture. Like a lie detector test is a form of torture. An interrogation like what you experience is a form of torture.
Yeah, I mean, it puts you in a position where you have to admit to things that maybe you don't want to admit to, but then it also denies you the opportunity to explain the backstory or put it into context.
I mean, but why do you even have to put anything into context or say backstory for any fucking thing? Like, why do you even have to be put in that position to be interrogated at all? I mean, at the end of the day, he should have been, like, really grateful that he even had a chance with me.
Yeah, yeah, I would definitely I would say that's fair.
You're welcome. You had a chance with me. You had a five-minute chance with me. Like, you're welcome. Like, I don't need to do anything more than, like, that.
Well, and
it just messes up the power dynamic, these shows. Because at the end of the day, like, I don't want to bash Ray. I really don't want to bash Ray. So I'm going to say, just, you know, outside of him, even let's talk about The Bachelor. Like, most of those women that go on The Bachelor, I'm going to just make assumptions because I don't watch that show. But I'm going to say they're pretty, they're smart, they're educated. They're good women. He would probably be lucky to be with any one of those women. And we had a great cast. So at the end of the day, like, yeah, the show is structured to where we're trying to, like, do all this extra shit to get with him. But he would have probably been very happy picking any one of us.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Well, the thing that's interesting about these dating shows as opposed to real life dating is, usually in real life dating, everybody's on their best behavior. You get to know each other, everybody on their best behavior. And as you get closer and closer and closer, then slowly some of the baggage starts to be revealed. But by then it's okay because you already like the person, so you're accepting of their baggage. But when it comes to reality shows, it's the reverse. And the whole premise of the show is like, but yeah, you seem great. Yeah, you seem nice. Yeah, you're pretty. But what's the worst of you? What's the worst? Give me the worst of you. And that's what these shows really are, is like trying to dig and find that, like, well, where's the crazy in you? What's your backstory that's bad? I want to know. So would you say that's accurate?
Yes, I would definitely say that's a fair assessment of, like, what these shows are at their core, like, because that's what sells, you know, that's what sells. Controversy, sex, fighting, that's what's so popular. I mean, you can see that from just the whole, like, movement of that talk show, Jerry Springer.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I think these shows have that Jerry Springer-esque quality to them because they're exciting to watch. Everyone is always like, oh my God, I love the show. You were such my guilty pleasure because, like, you're guilty for, like, liking it, you know? But yeah, I mean, it's not pretty. It's very messy and it's that way by design for ratings.
Yeah, 100%. I think you nailed it. Let's get into the whole drama with Unique, because that was definitely like, let me just ask you, like, how exactly did that start? It started pretty early.
Yeah, so right away, there was a very interesting division in the house. So right away, there was like a division immediately in the house and people were like, partnering up. Did that happen on your show?
Yeah. We had like,
developing alliances.
There was the slutty girls and the bitchy girls. And I was one of the slutty girls because we were like the party girls. The bitchy girls stuck up, like, you know, conservative, no fun girls.
I was going to say that. You use different words, but that's exactly what happened on my cast.
Yeah.
There were the bitchy girls and there were the slutty girls. There was the fucking church girls and there were the whores.
Yes.
And I was the leader of the whore group.
Yep, me too.
Actually, you know, I take that back. I think Chardonnay was the leader because she hit the slip, like, right on the first episode. And she forgot the house. She put a bikini on and she hit the splits.
That's right.
So she was like, oh, you know, she's like, oh, she's a bad girl. But I was definitely in the park right next to her. Yeah. Chardonnay was probably the leader. And then Unique was like the leader of the other group of girls. So it was probably like me, Chardonnay, Feisty. I'll probably say that's it. And then everybody else kind of in the other group. Yeah.
So then how did it start? Like, what was the moment where it started with Unique something that we, the audience, saw?
Cocktail. Probably in my group, too.
Cocktail.
So we weren't fun, but it is obvious that we were, like, more sexually comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Open-minded.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally feel you on that. And that's the same thing with on Rock of Love. So with Unique, did we see that or did it happen behind the scenes? The whole beef with you and Unique, like.
Oh no, like you guys saw most of it. You saw like a lot of the whole thing. She thought she was better than me. She thought she was better than everyone. She thought she was better than Ray. She just had a holier than thou chip on her shoulder, but she never put on a bra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, and I just hate that kind of like toxic, judgmental, I'm better than you because I go to church kind of thing. She just had a whole vibe about her that just was like against everything that I stood for. Like, I'm extremely open-minded. I'm sexually fluid. I have always been very vocal about my bisexuality and just like my open mind. And she just was very like, just very closed-minded. And I don't even know like what she's doing now. I have not really kept in touch with her over the years, so I don't wish her any ill will. But yeah, she definitely made a point to make me try to make me feel less than, and to convince the other girls to not like me as well.
Yeah, I feel like she was definitely targeting you, definitely gunning for you. And you know, once they got the label of crazy for you, that was sort of like the easy go-to. And you are a passionate woman and you do express yourself. And so I felt like they took that as an opportunity to go like, aha, see, there it is. There's the crazy, there it is. And it was really just sort of like the go-to. I mean, that had to have been exhausting for you to be on the receiving end of that.
Yeah, it definitely was very exhausting to be labeled that way. So unfairly, because we definitely were adversarial. So they didn't really have like a whole lot to go on because they didn't know me. They were just meeting me at the time. So it's not like they can say, oh, well, she's done X, Y, and Z, because they had no idea what I had done. But yeah, I think a lot of people just automatically thought that I was crazy because of my tattoos, and they just kind of ran with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous, though, the tattoos. Yeah. I mean, that's like such a common, if you're going to be in music or in rock and roll or in you know, nightclub scene.
Well, this was 2008.
Yeah, but I mean, God, I mean, in my scene, the rock and roll scene, people have always had tattoos. Like, that's just part of it. I coincidentally.
That wasn't really a part of, Black culture at the time.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but you do sort of see it now. So
but
back then, I guess you're right.
Years later, there weren't any women that had tattoos back in 2008. I was the first one.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah, yeah. And I think that just like that is another example of you were just sort of you are unapologetically you. You're like, if it's not hurting anybody, this is just an expression of me, I'm gonna go for it.
Yeah, and it can't be anyone else. So
there you go. That's true. Not that you want to.
I'm not perfect. I'm super flawed in a lot of ways, but I definitely can't pretend like it's just not in me to do that.
Yeah. I mean, we all have our flaws. We're all human beings. You know, it's just a matter of if you can like acknowledge that and always try to better yourself. I mean, that's really what it all is. But it's you can't really judge people based on these shows, because these shows are designed, they're competitive. They're designed for everybody to try to like knock each other out any way they can. So
I mean, I didn't really do that. Yeah, they might be designed that way, but I wasn't like telling Ray, Unique is dumb, here's why I don't like her. Like, I wasn't like telling Little Hood, like, hey, like, let's go and like, you know, fuck up Cocktail, like, let's go stab her. Like, I wasn't, you know, like, I wasn't trying to do anything to hurt anyone, even like just by talking about them. But other people chose to take that as a strategy. And I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Well, let's talk about the moment that all of the friends came on, like Warren G. I was always a big Warren G fan, but I also love Tom Green. He is such like
he's that was random.
What's that?
That was so random.
Totally random. I know. I didn't know that they were all friends. He totally doesn't go with that group, which makes it like all the more like amazing. But
I remember when he had prostate cancer.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
That was very emotional for him. Remember, he had to get one of his testicles removed?
Yeah.
He did that very publicly.
Yes, yes, I know. God bless him. Well, okay, so I want to break down that episode because you said something earlier. You were talking about LA being, you know, a small scene. So I lived in LA for 14 years. And and especially when it comes to your group. Like for me, I was always hanging out with my musician friends. And it's really funny because my husband and I, we hung out with a bunch of different people in LA before he and I even met. So when he got together, I was like, oh, you know, your friend so-and-so, like totally hooked up with him. And same thing with him. He's like, hey, you know, your girl so-and-so totally hooked up with her. And we were just like, oh, that's funny. But that's the thing is like, if you're in a scene, if you're in a clique in a city, it's a small scene. If you're attracted to a type of group of people, friendship-wise or otherwise, we all have sexual pasts. Like that's just going to happen, you know? And as I said, I swear to God, my husband and I were at a party one time and I was like, I counted four girls in this room that you slept with, babe. And there's like two guys that I slept with. It's very incestuous and it's like funny. We laugh about it. Cause like, you know, but they really gave you a hard time about this, about the fact that you had this one night stand with this guy. And it's like, what do they want? Like a virgin? Like, are you supposed to be a virgin? Are you supposed to have no sexual past? Like, what exactly are they looking for?
You're supposed to be a virgin, but really good at blowjobs.
So you're supposed to be like a practicing, like you've been practicing on a cucumber your whole life.
You just kind of knew how to do it magically and it was just saved up just for you. Right?
Yeah, exactly. But what was cool about that, so in that moment when you realized you knew one of the guys in Ray's group. And they were really, as soon as everybody else realized that, they were like asking like, so what happened? Like, did you guys date? Did you date? You're like, no, we didn't date. And they just kept on like, well, how do you know each other? And you're like, you know what? We fucked. Okay. And I was like, oh. I was like, God bless this woman. That's amazing.
I mean, I didn't even really feel like they had to hound me that bad. I just, like, honest about it, I wasn't ashamed by it. Like, it wasn't a big deal to me. Yeah,
because then the female, I forgot what her name is, but that was in with the crew. What's that?
Little Brandy.
Yeah, she was like, so did you like have a one night stand? And you're like, yeah. She's like, is that something that you like to do? I'm like, are we at church? What is happening right now?
I don't remember her saying that.
Let me ask you, how long ago prior to that had you hooked up with that dude?
Oh, I don't remember.
It was like years?
Yeah, it was a long time before I even shot the show. And when he popped up, I was kind of like, what the fuck are you doing here?
And there's no weirdness, right? There's no weirdness between you and him?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, Ray's Black, I'm Black. We know a lot of the same people. Before I even did the show, I lived in LA for a bit, you know, my adult life. I used to work at that Laugh Factory as a hostess. I met tons of comedians and people in the industry. Tiffany Haddish was one of my best friends when I worked at the Laugh Factory. I knew like all the comedians because I used to work there. And I also worked at the Crunch Gym on Sunset Boulevard checking IDs. I was 19 when I moved to LA. I didn't know anyone, but I got to know a lot of people in the industry because I worked at the Laugh Factory and I was working at Crunch Gym where Kerry Washington, Ali Lauder worked out, Karma Lecture worked out there. Like, and I'm nice and I'm easy to talk to. So I made friends and I didn't see celebrities as being any different than me because they're not fucking better than me. We're all the same. So when I met Ray J's entourage, I didn't know they were Ray J's entourage. There's just some fucking people that make music that know all kinds of people that are more famous than fucking Ray. So I wasn't thinking anything of it, you know? Like, I met Lo, who I smashed when I was hanging out at the studio with Tyga, and we were all just kicking it, and we ended up hooking up. Like, it's not a big deal
to
me.
Not a big deal. But they made it a big deal.
That happens. I was, like, young and fucking beautiful in LA. I could do whatever the fuck I want. And I did. I did whatever the fuck I wanted, whenever the fuck I wanted to do it. So yeah. And I don't have to apologize for it and give people context or let them know when I did it or how many times I fucking fucked him. Like, I fucked him because I wanted to, and I would do it again if I felt like it.
I fucking
so,
love
it. End of the day.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
I'm in a very closed monogamous marriage, but at the end of the day, we need to stop telling our daughters and our sisters and our mothers and our girlfriends that their sexuality is poisonous to them.
Yes, thank you.
And all it is perpetuating a cycle of shame and pain.
Yes.
If women can be liberated enough, we can wear pants and we can vote, bitch. We can get bank accounts now, too. Like, women can do a lot of things. And they can also have sex with whoever the fuck they want to have sex with, whenever the fuck they want to have sex with that person. As long as it's consensual, men do it and nobody gives a fuck.
Yes.
Why can't women do it and be happy and be sexual and feel good and be empowered to do and act and say and do whatever makes them feel good?
Yes.
Like, why are we still talking about this in 2021, Lacey? That's
yes.
what I don't fucking get.
Thank
why
you.
Why are we still talking about this shit? Like, it's 2021 and you're still going to comment on my videos? I'm sure this interview is going to have comments. At least 20 people are probably going to say Danger Smash to Homies in those comments in this video right now. And I just want to take the time to look at this person who's going to write that and say, fuck you. You're dumb. Grow the fuck up. Grow up, because you have more brain cells. I'm giving you some credit where you probably don't deserve it. You have more brain cells to be able to come up with an intelligent comment than something so parroted. Like, you're just a dumb-ass parrot who is being as problematic as most people were in 2008. Dummy.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I'll put this out there. Maybe Danger smashed the homie, but Lacey smashed lots and lots of homies. So I'm if they're going to throw you under the bus, I'm like, I'm already under the bus. Like, I'm there. Like, you know. So
it's the bus.
What's that?
Why does there have to be a bus?
You know what? There is no bus. You know, I like.
Have vaginas?
Yeah. It's
like, that's the only reason that there's a bus to be thrown under.
Yeah.
Is because we're not men.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
I feel like a lot of the slut shaming comes from other women too, though. And that is very problematic as well. And the thing is, I get.
Those comments will be from women.
I'm sorry?
Those comments that says Danger Smash to Homies, those will be women writing that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Women writing those comments on your blog.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, what I think is going on with this, I don't want to get off this topic too much. I want to get back to you, but I just want to say this really quickly. When I was in my early 20s, from like age 18 to 27, I was with one guy. He was my guitar player and we were touring a lot and I was monogamous. Then we broke up when I was like 27, 28. And that's where I was like, woohoo, I'm single. Like, come here, boys, you know? And that's when I was promiscuous. And so I know some girls might be like, well, if you're promiscuous, then you're setting the bar to which, like, well, if women want a chance, if women want to gain some success, we have to be slutty like Lacey. Like, why does Lacey get to the front of the line? Because she's going to blow everybody. And I will tell you this, being in bands, all of my 20s, all of my 30s, when I was monogamous, I was treated a certain way. When I was promiscuous, I was treated the same way. I didn't get more opportunities. I didn't get less opportunities. I was a professional when I wasn't in the bedroom. I conducted myself a certain way, and that is all that mattered. It didn't matter if I was being a hoe. It didn't matter if I was being monogamous. There was no additional opportunities. So women have to like get that out of their minds. It's not going to give a woman an unfair advantage to be a sexual being. It's just gonna make her happier and live longer, to be honest. So
honestly, I don't feel like there's like, I get what you're saying, but I have to agree to disagree, because I think that you can't really make a blanket generalization, like, not in your experience, but there might be another woman who has a different experience.
That's a good point.
You know
that's
what I mean?
True.
Like,
yeah, you're right. About
yeah, like
that.
I get that. That's totally your experience, and that definitely, like, I can definitely see that happening. Like, no, you didn't get any special treatment because you kind of had it both. Like, you were able to experience the industry in a monogamous relationship, and you're able to do it single, and didn't see a difference. But I think that what I kind of tend to stray away from is making like blanket generalizations, like,
oh,
it's always like this in every scenario for every person, because it's never going to be that way. Like, yeah, like, it's a fact. Sometimes people, you know, are promoted at jobs or given opportunities because of sexual favors. And that's a very real thing that happens. And I think that we've seen that kind of play out in a lot of this Me Too Time's Up stuff.
Yeah, that's a little different. So I'm not really talking about that specifically. Okay. That's to me, that's just unprofessional. I don't get my opportunities by like sleeping with the person for the opportunity. Like that's never been me. So that's a little, and that gets into like sexual harassment territory. But
I'm just saying
like as a woman, just be yourself. If you're more conservative, that's okay. Be that. If you're more, right. You know, if you're more sexual, that's
and
okay.
We have
be that.
To be okay with being different.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's the thing that, that I think is the big problem for a lot of women. And also just being so judgmental. Like even my best friend, like when we're hanging out, when we're growing up together, we just couldn't be more different, but we like respected each other and expected, you know, respected the choices that we made, you know? So she was like a little bit more conservative and I was a little bit more wild and, you know, we still could love each other and appreciate each other for our differences.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, we're not going to just tell each other what to do. Right. We would behave in different ways because we're different people.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that one is worse than the other or one is better than the other.
Like, right. That's well
every
said.
Every woman is different and beautiful and we can celebrate that. And we should be celebrating that instead of trying to tear each other down.
I love that. I think that's so well said. To get back to the show, because I sort of got us off the topic.
That was on the side. We can go on and on about politics, right?
I know. I know. So, I want to ask you about the whole pregnancy thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you just give us the whole story about what that was all about?
So as soon as I got in the show, I was hanging out with Raz B from B2K. Do you remember that boy group? B2K?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. I don't remember their music, but I remember hearing their name.
Well, I happen to be really good friends with a member of that group. His name is Raz B, and he introduced me to my daughter's father, but it was like right after I finished filming. So I actually got pregnant pretty close to like the end of filming. So I was like pretty big by the time it was airing. So everyone just pretty much assumed that it was Ray's.
That's so funny. Because I remember when you went on and did season two, you sort of like kind of did that insinuation like, oh, this might be
yeah.
Raised. But then you're like, oh, I'm just kidding. So what? Tell me how things went down with you and Ray after the cameras were gone, the show is done filming. Because I know you said that he went to your baby shower. So obviously you guys were cool for a bit. Did you feel heartbroken by the whole thing? Or were you cool to be friends with him? Or how was that in your own mind with that situation?
If I'm really being honest with you, I would definitely say that I did get my heart broken a little bit because after we stopped filming, he, you know, he kind of was seeing somebody and I started seeing somebody and then that was pretty much the end of things.
Yeah. So did you think at any point, like maybe there could be a future between me and Ray or...
No, I don't. I don't want to bash Ray in my, you know, my second wave of interviews and whatnot. I'm definitely not going to bash Ray at all. But at the end of the day, like, we're just not compatible.
Yeah, that's fair to say. That's fair to
and
say.
And I'm married, so.
Yeah, and congratulations, by the way. That's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
So the media was pretty rough on you afterwards. There was a period of time where, like, TMZ was following you around and really being pretty brutal. There were some videos that came out that people were like, what's Danger doing? What's going on with her? What happened after the show? Like, why was the media constantly coming at you?
A lot went down. Not a whole lot I really feel like getting into at this time, but a lot of really bad stuff happened to me. And luckily, I like was able to come out on the other end of it alive and healthy.
I'm so sorry to hear that you went through some difficult stuff. I know I watched a video that you put up about a week before you did this interview, and you were kind of saying that like trying to work, and then people are Googling you and you know, finding out stuff that happened on the show or whatever, and really just sort of it made things difficult for you, like in your work environment, stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then when did you decide, you know what, I'm just going to like walk away from all of this and then kind of refocus? Were you looking to start a family or did that just sort of happen organically?
Yeah, no, Mayara, my daughter, was totally planned. Yeah. Surprise, she was actually planned. And yeah, that's what I thought I was going to be doing with my life, but that didn't work out. And I just wanted to give her like the best possible childhood. And I just didn't really see me continuing with being in the entertainment industry at that time and being able to do that because I was doing appearances at that time when I had newly had her. And that was like a lot of travel away from her. So I just kind of figured that I would probably be better suited to just move on and just turn another page. I was really tired of being like mobbed. Like I was getting like mobbed, you know, in the streets, and I had strangers like even knocking on my door, my front door, saying, "Danger, can you come take a picture of us?"
Oh my God, that's scary.
Yeah, it was very frightening, and it just wasn't healthy. So yeah, I decided that I was going to give it all up and move on.
Good for you. That's awesome. So what made you decide to kind of come back? I know you were not really on social media for a while. And then I know sort of kind of relatively recently, you got your Instagram up and you started posting and then you started making videos, which I think is really great. What made you decide to go like, all right, I'm going to come out of my shell into the world again? What made you decide to do that?
It was my husband's idea, actually.
Nice. That's awesome. Good man.
Yeah. He thought that I would get a kick out of doing a YouTube channel. He thought I'd be really good at it because I am absolutely obsessed with watching TV. Like, I watch way too much TV, like, way too much music. So you can do, like, shows about your favorite shows. And I was like, I don't want to do it because it's so bad. It was such a bad experience. But, I ended up doing it. And then I was like, really loving it. So I just started making, I have like 60 videos now, and I just started my YouTube channel like 2 weeks ago.
Oh my God, that's awesome. How can people find your YouTube channel?
Well, it's A Dangerous Life, and I can give you the link tree to all my like social media and my YouTube channel. But I actually too have been like, I just started DJing. So I post like a different playlist every day so people can kind of vibe out with me and like listen to the music that I've like selected for that day on my website. So go to adangerouslife.com and you can get my playlist to get like my special playlist that I post every day. So you have like the songs that I'm listening to and you can listen to those.
Cool.
And then also all of the products that I'm using in my YouTube videos, from like my hair to my makeup to my skincare to even like the lights and the camera I'm using for the YouTube channel.
That's awesome.
I have a blog on there. I write a blog on there where I'm writing different poetry and stuff. So I'm just having so much fun, Lacey. Like, I really didn't realize how much I had missed being creative and doing all this fun stuff. So
that makes me so happy to hear. And actually, speaking of being creative, are you still painting?
Yes, I actually am still painting. People keep asking me to post a video about painting, but painting is such a solitary thing. And it's kind of private.
Yeah.
So it's very intimate. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that, but I'm going to think about it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, well, I'm really happy that things are looking up for you. I'm glad that you're coming out into the world again. If there's one, I have two more questions for you in closing. One, were you offered any more shows on VH1 after these shows? Like, were you offered like a Charm School or I Love Money or maybe your own show?
No, they're too afraid of me to offer me a show.
Fair enough. And my other question is, what to everybody who's listening right now, to everybody who's watching, what would be the one thing that you would want like the takeaway message to be about what you've been through, your experiences? What's the one thing that you would like to say to them about what they've witnessed of you in all of this?
I would just say to just have a growth mindset and have an open mind that there are all different types of people on this planet. Like, there are just all different types of people on this planet. And just because you don't know anyone that's like me doesn't mean that there aren't people out there that are like me. And we're worth something too. Like, we're just as human as you are.
I think that's a great message. Are you happy?
Yeah.
You are happy?
I was a little nervous to do this interview, I have to be honest, Lacey, but you definitely made me feel comfortable with our talks, you know, and the things that we've spoken about prior to the interview have made me feel more comfortable about it, because I've had such traumatic and negative experiences talking to the press in the past. So I appreciate you for being so thoughtful in your prep and your questions, and even in recording this this episode. You know, I really just thank you for being like gentle and human with me, because it's a really touchy subject. It's like, okay, so let's talk about the worst time in your life. You know?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I totally understand now. I didn't used to understand this, but I understand now that these shows were really intense for a lot of people, and maybe a little bit like stuff came up that they weren't expecting. And, you know, I'm not doing this podcast because I'm trying to like re-trigger people. And sometimes the people watching the podcast get upset with me because like, why didn't you ask her this? And why didn't you ask her that? I'm like, because I'm not trying to re-traumatize the girl, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, if there are questions that people still have, you know, maybe we can do a round two in a little bit if you feel like it, you know, like we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen after quarantine. You know, I have decided to kind of start modeling and acting again. So, you know, who knows what I can be trying to you know, promote in a couple months. So we'll just have to play it by ear.
Absolutely. Well, you are always, always welcome back. You've got my number now. So anytime you want to come back, just give me a holler. You're always welcome back. And I just want to say thank you for coming on. And I'm really happy for you that you've got a great man, that you've got a family. You look beautiful. And I'm happy that things are looking up for you.
Thank you so much. I think, you know, I will actually say one more thing, if I can just indulge your audience for a second, just to kind of bestow them on this last thing before I go. Being healthy is a process. It's a daily process, being healthy. And I think people think that it's like easy or just natural to be healthy, but you have to get enough sleep. You have to eat well. You have to exercise. You have to cut out toxic people. You have to cut out stress. You have to really be conscious of who you are and what's happening with you in order to like maintain your health. So I do just want to leave it out there. 1 in 5 people have something going on with their mental health. 1 in 5 humans and Americans. And don't feel ashamed by that. Just be aware. And the most important thing that you can do for yourself and for the people that you love and your children or your spouse is just making sure that you take care of you. So, and then it's an active process. It's not something like, you know, they say doctors practice medicine.
Mm-hmm.
They're practicing. It's not something that they're doing. They're not, you know, doing medicine. They're practicing medicine. It's a practice. So just remember that when you're going through this pandemic, because this is a really raw and emotional time for everyone, and you need to take an active role in making sure that you're okay every day.
I think that's
anybody.
Very well said. Very well said. My husband has a really great analogy about all of this. He says that when you are on an airplane and the flight attendants are saying, like, in the case of an emergency, this is what you do. And if there's an emergency and the masks drop down, they tell you, don't put the mask on your loved one first. Put the mask on yourself first. Once you have your mask on, once you're safe, once you're good, then you can start putting the masks on your loved ones. And it's such a great analogy because, like, yeah, if you're not putting the mask on you and you're trying to take care of everybody else, you'll be fucked up and then you're no good to anybody. You got to be good to yourself. You got to be healthy. Once you're healthy, then that's when you can give your loved ones the most of you.
That is really well said, Lacey. And I think that's just super important, especially for where we're at in the world right now. You just really have to make sure that you're okay.
Yeah.
And it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. And you might feel great one day and then not feel not so great the other day. But you have to like be like, okay, I'm not feeling good. Okay, I need to sleep some more hours. You know, like.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That was a hard thing for me to kind of learn. So I just wanted people to like hear it coming from me. to feel better about getting the information out there. It's like, take the time to really like evaluate your habits. Are they healthy? What can you do to like make yourself better and happier? Do that.
I love it. I love it. Very well said. Well, girl, thank you so much once again for coming on. And I wish you all the best.
I wish you the best. Please stay in touch with me, okay?
I certainly will. Thank you so
all
much, girl.
Right. Take promise.
Care. I promise. Right. Pinky swear.
When I go to Vegas, I'm going to call you. Like, I'm in Vegas. Where are we partying?
Please, please, please do. Absolutely. You are always invited. So yes, I would love to stay in touch with you, girl. And okay. Take care. And I'll talk to you again soon, okay?
You too. Bye.
Bye, girl. That was really cool. I'm so glad that Danger came on and spoke to us. I feel like we just sort of saw just like we barely scratched the surface. I could definitely feel, I don't know if you guys feel this, but I could definitely feel there was some emotions in there. There was some unfinished business in there. But I did promise her when I was going to bring her on the podcast that we would just talk about what she was comfortable talking about. I'm not trying to re-traumatize anybody, as I said earlier. But I definitely feel like there was a lot in there that was just kind of waiting to come out. But I'm sure it will when she's ready. And until then, I wish her all the best. I think she's an amazing, amazing young woman. So anyway, thank you guys so much for staying up with Talk of Love and for continuing your support. It really, really means a lot to me. If you haven't done so already, please click the subscribe button on YouTube and make sure to click the thumbs up and click that you like this video. Be sure to share it with your friends. And you guys are awesome. I want to give a shout out to the contributors, as always, Zena in particular. Zena, I love you so much. Thank you for always being there for me, for the podcast, for showing so much support. It really means the world to me. And for the rest of you, have a great rest of your week. And one last thing, if you're interested in becoming a contributor or getting some reaction videos, I'm actually getting a lot of those pumped out. We got reaction videos for Rock of Love Season 1, Rock of Love Season 2, Flavor of Love Season 1, Charm School with Sharon Osbourne. It's been a lot of fun. So definitely go to my website, talkoflove.net. Check that out. And I will see you guys next week. Until then, be safe, wear your masks, and don't threaten me with a good time. Bye, guys.